Welcome to True Crime in the Low Country, where we explore the darkest corners of the region's criminal history. Join our host, Frank Santarella, and co-host, CC News proprietor, Jim Karsk, an investigative journalist, as well as accomplished author, as they explore the murder trial, also multiple cases that have gripped and shocked the nation. It's True Crime in the Low Country, and the truth is just around the corner.
This is WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio, broadcasting from Cottageville, South Carolina. And I'm here with Jim Karsk of Crime and Karsk. Jim, do me a favor, plug your website.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how is everybody? Crime and Karsk coming at you. Hey, check us out. We're at Crime and Karsk, C-A-S-K, crimeandkarsk.com, or at the ccnewsnetwork.com. Check us out. We are one of the emerging media sources in South Carolina. We've been doing this for a couple of years. I've written three books now. We cover South Carolina. I do a series called Broken Badges, where attorneys, police officers, firemen, you name it, get arrested for various things. We dive into that. I do discuss a little bit of the world, a lot of Alex Murdaugh, some festivals and events, if you're looking for festivals and events. All kinds of stuff. We have a lot of fun there, including the radio show, 97.7. Bam.
All right. Hey, Jim. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm not real big on this J.P. Miller thing. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I have some preconceived notions and this and that. But this thing is getting crazy. The fisherman that found Micah Miller's stuff, you know, on the side of the river, right?
Yeah.
He bought the farm, man.
He did. Oh, he sure did.
What's that? Listen, I don't believe in coincidence. I really don't.
but, well, he just got T-boned. He got T-boned by somebody.
Yeah, no kidding. I got to tell you something. If you said to me you wanted me to T-bone somebody, I can arrange that. Holy moly. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. What's your conjecture?
Since you offer that, Frank, I'll give you a list.
No. Hey, Jimmy, you know what? You got a good business. You got a good business, but I don't think you got that much money. But anyway, go ahead.
This is more about media hype, or I should say social media hype, and it goes back to, of course, Micah Miller, and you were just talking about the fisherman there who died, which is very tragic, and there's a lot of deaths that are surrounding this case, and one of them goes back to 2021, which was a guy by the name of Chris Skinner.
Right.
Now, Chris? Yeah, he was married to Susie Skinner, and he was a paraplegic for about 20 years. So he was in one of those wheelchairs that, you know, I mean, it even had, like, not only just wheels, but it had, like, the little things like a...
Motorized. It was a motorized wheelchair, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But exactly. Now, this Susan Skinner, she was JP's girlfriend, right?
I don't know about that. At the time, she was married to Chris Skinner. However, they are dating now.
Okay.
She did admit that in court about a month ago during a bunch of lawsuits that JP had filed, which has really brought this situation back up again for her admitting that, because it ties her to JP, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so his sister, Chris Skinner's sister, has contacted the Horry County Chief Deputy Coroner, Tamara Willard. And according to them, and a lot of these news outlets, you know, whether they be print, online, or even television in Myrtle Beach, started coming out with headlines, serious headlines, that said, Chris Skinner case reinvestigated, reopened and investigated. Now I thought, well, that's interesting. What kind of information could they have gleaned since 2021?
Yeah, but I heard that wasn't true.
It is not true. You are correct. I called the coroner's office in Horry County, and I asked to speak to Tamara Willard, and she called me back. And I asked her point-blank question, is this case reopened? And the answer was no. And I said, okay, so what is going on? She's like, all I can tell you is that we have received information from the public, and we are looking at it. That's it. She didn't even say investigation. She said, we have information that was sent to us from the public, and we are looking at it. I'm like, okay, so is it because of this case, or is it because of is this what you would do? She's like, this is what we would do. For any case that's out there that we have investigated or are investigating, if people send us information, we will take a look at it. And that's all that's happened.
You know, Jim, you and I both are big at connecting the dots. All right?
Yes.
But you don't want to know something? Sometimes there's a dot that's just a dot. It's standalone. It's a standalone event, and it's not connected to anything else. I mean, I think one of the hardest things is eliminating the dot that doesn't warrant connection to anything else. An excellent example is the young kid that was hit with the car. What the hell was his name in the Murdoch that they threw at the Murdochs? The young kid that was found in the road, in the middle of the road.
Stephen Smith.
Yeah. That, I mean, I consider that a standalone dot.
Right.
I can't legitimately connect it to anything else.
Right.
Maybe I don't have all the information. Maybe I'm stupid. I don't know. It's a standalone dot. Maybe this poor guy putting his paraplegic wheelchair down in the bottom of a municipal pool could be a standalone dot.
I think it is. So she sent me an email, and in the email it states they have been contacted with new evidence regarding the manner of death in this case. Now let's talk about that for a second. Manner of death in the death of Chris Skinner. So here's what happened. At 7:57 in the morning on September 6, 2021, he left his home in his wheelchair by himself to go down to the local pool in his subdivision. He was there to meet somebody to play chess. Apparently that was a thing. And I don't know if he was going early or what the deal was, but he went there at about 8 o'clock. And the cameras at the pool, because they have cameras at the pool now, and everybody does, just to protect themselves, and they're motion activated. So when he came in, the cameras were activated, and he was taking his wheelchair near the pool, and according to the coroner's report, his chair got too close, based off of the video that they reviewed, his wheelchair got too close, and the wheel slipped, and he went into the pool. The Myrtle Beach Police Department report says there was like a sudden lunge forward, which would be what the coroner reported, is that when it goes into the pool. When he went into the pool, you tip over. You're tipping over quickly. It's not a it's not a slow fall. And he went into the pool, and sad thing. Clearly a sad thing. However, he did try to stay afloat, but the problem is that he was like belted into this thing.
Yeah.
So it just took him down to the bottom of the pool, and what an awful way to go. But there was nobody there besides Chris, and Chris went, unfortunately, it was an accident, and he got too close to the pool, and the chair tipped into it. So that's it. I don't know what, when you look at the email that I just read you, when she says, where'd it go? New evidence regarding the manner of death. Now, there are social media people out there, including his sister, which is strange to me, 4 years after his death, they're wanting to turn this from accidental death, which has been listed on the death certificate, to a suicide.
They want it moved to a suicide.
They want it moved to a suicide. Now, I understand, and I'm getting this through various sources that have not been, you know, I wouldn't say reliable sources, but I'm getting some chatter, let's call it that, chatter. I like the word chatter. There's some chatter that she had, they had, as a family, life insurance policy on Chris and on her. So there was a payout because there was a payout for accidental death. Now, you tell me, Frank, if it's changed to suicide, what would happen to that insurance money?
Well, I got to tell you, you're talking to a guy that has no life insurance at all, but
all I know is that if insurance companies started paying out on suicides, they'd go out of business.
Yeah.
With all the crazy people that are
get
a $1 million policy and just off themselves, right?
Right. Well, I understand that. And why the hell would she want to change to suicide?
That's a good question.
Oh.
That's a question. That's a question that she hasn't answered yet. Although
now
she has gone out.
The only thing I can think of, the only thing I could think of, Jim, is if he was under some psychiatric care. All right?
I don't believe so.
Hmm.
But I don't know that to be true or false, so I can't answer that question.
Hmm.
You can say it as speculation, but
yeah, but what motivation could there be for them to do that? I mean, if it was the other way, if it was suicide and you want to change to accidental death, yeah, that I could see all day. That I could see all day because it would be insurance related. But going from accidental death to suicide.
Yeah. Hmm. So that she goes on, the Horry County coroner says this evidence is being investigated. That's the first time in that she said investigated. But all that means is not reopened. The case is not reopened. I mean, do I need to say that again?
Yeah.
The Chris Skinner case is not reopened. They have been provided evidence, and she says it's new evidence, regarding the manner of death. Now, the manner of death, that what that means is a manner of death, they're calling it suicide. The sister is calling it a suicide. Social media people are calling it a suicide. But
Jim. I think it's the sister. Holy moly. Holy
yeah.
moly. You know, what I'm thinking, I would really like to know what the relationship with that, what the relationship is between the sister and the wife that got the payout on the insurance.
There is no relationship, as I understand it. And in fact, I was told that there was no relationship with Chris Skinner and his sister either. His sister apparently was married 5 times before the age of 35, and he requested that she not contact him.
She sounds like a hell of a woman. Holy moly. 5 times before she was 35, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Very interesting.
What's that tell you about somebody?
That tells me, boy, they're dying.
Even Josh Dugabore was married longer than 5 times than that.
No, we just consider those relationships dynamic.
Anyway.
They're dynamic.
That's it. They've got evidence that is being investigated. However, it is not reopened. They're just looking at the new evidence that was given to them. And I asked her if the evidence was credible or not. And she said she wouldn't comment on that.
You know, I'm good at fabricating scenarios. You know, really. Here's a totally fictitious, yeah. totally fictitious fabricated scenario. All right?
What's that? Yeah.
The sister, who was estranged from the brother for the longest time, wants to tap the surviving wife, who was the recipient of an insurance policy, for some cash. And the wife doesn't want to give her any cash. So, out of just vindictiveness, the sister has the death certificate changed, and then the insurance company tries to recoup the cash that they issued on accidental death. Just saying. There's a lot of crazy people out there, you know, and I don't know. I mean, that's an excellent...
We want to put allegedly before...
Of course. Everything is alleged. And like I said, this is totally fictional and, you know, is what do you call it? Is a theme for a fictional book. Interesting.
But the interesting Skinner's case was only reignited through the highly publicized suicide of Micah Miller. She's the wife of Solid Rock Church pastor John Paul Miller. And she was, of course, found dead of a gunshot in North Carolina's Lumber River State Park less than 48 hours after she filed for divorce. And Miller delivered the eulogy at Chris Skinner's funeral. Of course, you know, Miller is now facing several lawsuits, assault charge, and other things, but he's also countersuing one of the civil suits, Jane Doe number one, and he's also had as many as 34 different lawsuits.
I heard that, but they've all been dropped, right?
Yeah, they have. Well, dropped, but he's starting over, as far as I understand.
Oh, God help us. So,
I know. So, here's where it comes into. Is that I think what they're trying to do, and this is, of course, speculation and my opinion, is that they're trying to get this thing moved over to suicide. One, it's going to have the effect of an insurance company would try to recoup those funds. And two, I think they're going to try to pin this on Miller somehow, because they're trying to also say that he, although didn't kill his wife, she committed suicide, but they believe that he drove her to it. So I think they're going to try to do the same thing here, is that they're going to try to pin this on Miller, saying things to Chris Skinner to just make him, you know, so depressed that he's just going to go.
That's
my opinion.
Was Skinner one of, I guess he was, if JP gave the eulogy, he was one of his congregation, huh?
Yeah, there's also reports that he had, unverified reports, by the way, that he had stopped going to the church a few weeks before and even had said something to JP Miller about leave his wife and family alone. They lived in the same neighborhood. They went to the same church. Again, unverified, but that's what people say, you know.
Stay with us on True Crime in the Lowcountry. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. Don't go away.